our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, source of every blessing, your generous goodness comes to us anew every day. By the work of your Spirit, lead us to acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we hear the word proclaimed.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with a shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Let us praise Psalm 23 responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul, he leads me in right paths for his name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Philippians, the 4th chapter. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge you, Odia, and I urge Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited are not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
That's one of those gospel passages that is difficult to say, "Glory to you, O Christ," right? When we hear that, getting thrown out into the darkness and gnashing of teeth. It's always difficult to say, "Praise the Lord for that good news." But there is a word of good news in that right before that. When the slaves go out into the main street and gather everybody into the banquet, did you notice who gets invited? Both the good and the bad. Thanks be to God. We're all invited. The good and the bad. Today, I'm not going to preach about that text. Today, we are blessed with an opportunity to hear the faith statements of our confirmation candidates. The candidates have been working, preparing for confirmation, for their affirmation of faith, which they will make on Reformation Sunday at the end of this month. But today, they want to share with you, well, not to announce it, I want them to share with you, their statements of faith that they have prepared. And I know that you will want to hoot and holler and clap and stomp your feet at the end of each one, but I'm going to ask you to wait until all four of the candidates have made their statement of faith. So we'll begin with Connor. And I'm going to take his picture as soon as he's up there, so please don't let this be an example to you, taking pictures in church. My birthday candle.
A All right, I'm Connor Lane, and this is my faith story. I am not a perfect Christian, hardly even a good one. I know that I have sinned, and so I pray, asking for reconciliation. I'm not worthy of the gifts that I receive from God, but because of His unending love, God bestows them upon me as often as I ask. I believe that it is not our good deeds for which God is so generous, but God's infinite love and our belief. It is this belief that is the foundation of my life, which I continue to build upon and further my understanding of my religion with every passing day. In order to obtain this comprehension, I had to undergo many years of teaching and listening, which in the end benefited me greatly. For years I attended Sunday school, which was primarily the origin of my faith journey. After I completed Sunday school, I went on to be present at the formal church service, where I would sit and attempt to comprehend and make use of the guidance that is within Pastor Marone's sermons. However, it was not only my teachers and Pastor Marone who have affected me throughout these years. It was also my parents, my grandparents, and my peers who have been role models for me and have set examples for how I want to lead my life as a Christian. Everything that I've mentioned previously has been crucial in my faith journey. However, two facets of the Christian faith supersede all of those who have influenced me: my baptism and the Holy Trinity. I cannot imagine my life without baptism as well as without the Trinity. They define and maintain Christianity. They are the essential centerpieces of our religion. In addition, Jesus is especially important in my life because, to me, He is the messenger and the teacher. I often look to Him for guidance as well as for support, and I feel empowered when I hear about Him during the sermons. I see Jesus as God's only Son who saves us from death and sin, but I also see Him in a simpler, more personable sense. I see Him as a comforting friend or even an older brother whom you look up to and treat as a role model, who is perfect. To me, He is this. He is both God and human. Furthermore, Jesus' death and resurrection are the sole reason for which we are given the opportunity of everlasting life. It is impossible for me to comprehend how great a gift this truly is. Jesus died to save everyone. He saves me and you and even those who had wronged Him in the first place. Because of this, I see it necessary to serve Christ in any way possible. In the future, I can see myself serving Him by reaching out to others as well as by spreading the good news. My religion is the most influential aspect of my life. It changes my opinion on certain subjects, changes my actions, my outlook on life, and finally, it gives me hope for every day that I live on earth, there will be another one in heaven, beside my God. Now I leave you with one of my favorite verses, which is Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Thank you.
My name is Adrian Morrow, and I was baptized at Christ Lutheran Church in April 1992. I believe that through my baptism, I became a child of God and started my Christian journey in life. Being baptized makes me feel more connected to God because He accepted me, an unworthy sinner, to be His child. Roughly 6 years later, I started attending St. Peter's by the Sea regularly. At 7 years old, I had no concept of how much the church would change my life. The experiences I had in church were often meaningless to me before confirmation class and youth group. When I became more involved in church activities, I found myself understanding God and His Word more. Church was now exciting and an excellent source to learn about God. Through confirmation class, youth group, church services, Camp Eledua, Youth Quake, and the Bible, my visions of who Jesus is has evolved in my life. He is now more than just a friendly man who died on the cross for me. Instead, He is a teacher, counselor, role model, companion, savior, mentor, comforter, son of God, forgiver, and a mysterious, unchanging, and merciful Messiah. Jesus has been a teacher to me through the Bible, confirmation, especially in youth group. In the same way, He is a mentor. But Jesus is so mysterious, I shall never truly know everything about Him. Jesus' personality, existence, and traits are sometimes too great for me to fathom. Even Jesus' actions are wondrous and fill me with awe. But sometimes it's hard to be filled with wonder and awe when the story has been read through so many times. I try to never forget the pain Jesus experienced on the cross the day of his death. It helps me realize that God saved me through his mercy and love alone, that none of my righteous deeds could possibly be compared with God. I believe that Jesus' death has the same meaning for creation as it does for me. When I am partaking of the body and blood of Jesus, it reminds me of his death as well. Knowing that he died for me, it helps me to strive forward in my spiritual journey. By taking communion, we are called to remember Jesus' death. Being connected to God is essential in my life as well, and one of the ways I stay connected with him is through prayer. I know he's always listening, so I can say anything. God is informed of what I need without me telling him, but it's a nice way to express myself. Having a Christian lifestyle makes a huge difference in my life. Hearing God's word makes me rejoice within myself. I feel alive, happy, and satisfied. But when I am lazy and don't read my Bible, I feel as though my fervor is ebbed from me. I can't feel content with myself no matter what I do until I come back to God. Being a Christian, I also find myself serving God. I do this by little things such as serving as an acolyte and reaching out to people. I would like to thank Christy, John Nyland, Pastor Sims, Pastor Marone, my mom, my dad, Jess, and especially Jeremy for helping me through my spiritual journey in life so far.
Good morning, my name is Anthony. When I was a child, I didn't understand the Bible. Some parts didn't seem to make sense. For instance, I used to have this idea that Jesus found his disciples in a church or temple. Later, I discovered that he called ordinary fishermen and tax collectors off the street. I also didn't understand why those people would immediately leave everything they had to follow Jesus. Later, I found out that when a rabbi called a person, it was one of the highest honors a person could have. Now that I'm older, the fog is lifting, and I'm beginning to understand the Bible stories a little clearer. I was baptized here at St. Peter's when I was 9. It was a long time ago, and all I remember is I held a candle with a decoration on it, and the pastor put water on my head and said, "Christ has entered my body and my heart." I go to church and youth group as much as I can. It helps me learn more about Jesus, and I get cleansed in a spiritual way during communion. I try to, but I don't spend as much time thinking, praying, and reading the Bible as I should be. For example, I'll come home from school and get ready for water polo. Then I'll sit down, read, do my homework, or play on the computer until my carpool arrives. I have a busy schedule, and it is hard to fit in time to do other things. However, my family always prays before dinner. It sounds something like this: God is good, God is great. Let us thank him for food. Amen. I want to have a deeper relationship with God, but I don't know what that would include. I want to be able to hear from him when I pray and be awakened to his presence. Many people have helped me on my faith journey. My parents brought me here and started it. They explained difficult words, bought me a children's Bible, and I've funded events with the youth group. My grandmother has read Bible stories to me and explained them thoroughly, even when I didn't want her to. Jeremy has provided youth group events to go on, where we pray, have fun in different ways with God, and learned about stories in the Bible that are exotic, like the Song of Songs. Pastor has explained difficult concepts in confirmation and gave us the opportunity to go to confirmation camp. These people have made it possible to experience God in many ways. The most meaningful thing for me has been youth group, because I get to really learn about Jesus. During confirmation, I had to choose my favorite Bible verse. The verse I chose was Matthew 4:3-4. It takes place in the desert while Jesus is fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil is tempting him. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now if Jesus has this willpower to not turn the rocks into bread and eat them while fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, then he will be around all the time to help me.
My name is Christina Elizabeth Full, and I have been a member of St. Peter's for my entire life. I was baptized on April 14, 1991, in the same seashell font we use today. Since then, I have been actively involved in Sunday school, SPY, and my confirmation classes and camps. Throughout my life as a child of God, my family has encouraged me, and this congregation has supported me. I'm especially thankful for the spiritual guidance I've received from my pastors, youth leaders, and Sunday school teachers. Many times in my faith journey, I have been asked, or I have asked myself, what makes me a Christian? As my upcoming confirmation will establish me as an adult member of this congregation, I think it is my responsibility to understand what makes me a Christian and what I will bring to this community as an active participant. Just like Martin Luther, whose 95 theses started the Reformation 488 years ago, I believe that I am saved by grace through faith alone. I don't have to earn my way into heaven, because Jesus died on the cross so that I might have everlasting life. Through his death, he forgave all my sins so that I might forever serve him in his kingdom. I receive this endless gift by believing in God, not through my actions. God reminds us of his eternal love in his sacraments. When I was baptized, I was welcomed into God's family as one of his children, a new creation. He chose to save me and call me his own. The water that was used symbolized being washed clean of my sins by the blessing of the Holy Spirit so that I might receive faith by hearing God's word. My faith is my ticket to everlasting life. When I take Holy Communion, I am reminded of the purpose of my baptism. In receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I remember that I am forgiven and that God will provide me with life and salvation. Who could ask for more? Because God is so generous, I believe that it is only right to thank him for all that he has done for me. Every night when I pray, I use the ACTS system I learned at youth group: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. By going through the first three parts, by the time I get to supplication, I've realized that I really don't need that much after all. I like to pray alone in the quiet times of the day in order to better appreciate conversation with my Heavenly Father. I've also learned many other great ways to pray and appreciate God's love, such as reading the Bible regularly, playing an instrument, and singing hymns at church and at youth group. I believe that the best way to thank God for his endless love is to live as a Christian in this world and serve as an example to his children. Behaviorally, I have always tried to behave in the most godly way possible, which helps me to make the conscious decisions that lead me away from sin. I live as a Christian through my actions by attending church and youth group regularly, reading my Bible, and praying daily. Being a child of God also comes with a lot of responsibility. Since I am one of Jesus' representatives on earth, I must always seek to do my best, as my actions reflect upon my King. As a representative of Christ, I serve him in whatever ways I can. I've been an acolyte for many years, and I'm an active member of our youth group. I've played guitar for Youth Sunday and played musical accompaniment for Tithe services. My community service involvement has also increased in recent years. I've served meals at St. Vincent de Paul, babysat young cancer patient at Children's Hospital, and helped to provide food and music at a homeless center for the elderly. In the future, I hope to use my talents to serve Christ in even more ways. The personal Bible verse I chose for my confirmation is 1 Peter 4:10, which reads, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." This, to me, reflects the process of confirmation, through which we learn about our faith so that we may understand our gifts and use them to serve Christ in the world. My middle school years have been all about realizing my talents, so now as I become an adult member of Christ's family, it is my responsibility to use these talents to help others and spread God's good news. Like many teenagers, I'm not yet sure exactly what this means for me. I'm interested in math and science, so perhaps I could become a doctor who finds the cure for terrible diseases, or an engineer who uses science to better the lives of others. I love music, so maybe I could start a Christian music group and tour the world, spreading God's love to teens everywhere. Assisting others has also been one of my strengths, so perhaps I could go on mission trips to help people in underprivileged nations or promote increased community service action at my school. I don't yet know what the future holds in store for me, but whatever I do, I'll look to God to lead me so that my choices will glorify him.
If you had any concerns about the future of the world or the future of our congregation or the church, I think you can put those concerns aside after listening and appreciating what these young people have to share with us today. Let's stand and sing our hymn of the day.